Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
That real quick while my gasp is in the air.
I didn't do nothing.
Such scandal.
Such scandal.
That didn't take very long.
No, but she did look at you when you came in. Didn't click until
now. No, I seen it the second I walked in the door.
She's used to my face with an unobstructed view, as God intended.
Yeah. Are your little arms going to be able to reach your mic? No one can hear you yet.
Hello?
I liked it over there. No one could hear you.
How the hell is there a fly in here?
Kim must have let it
the
in.
The bunker.
Well, she was in the bathroom
we
for 50
minutes. We are underground in a back room.
When you gotta go, you gotta go.
And you really had to go for a long time.
And I'm really not sure that I won't have to go back.
Well, you got at least 45 minutes.
So if you see me jump out of frame real quick, you know I'm running to the bathroom.
Kim's Activia is kicking in. That old lady poop yogurt.
I'm the one that had yogurt with my lunch today.
I had White Castle, no, same effect.
It's true. You'll probably be the one running needed last time.
Josh does look quite smart today, doesn't he?
He does. Yeah.
He's wearing the Velma glasses.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the Velma ones? That I didn't notice. I did notice he had glasses on.
You were in the bathroom too long. The fumes have
deteriorated the mind.
Just don't go in there quite yet.
Are you one of those people that when you blow it up in the bathroom, do you leave the door open or close it?
No, I close it.
Did you use
the plug? Or at least close it too.
You close it so the smell stays in there for the next person. No home training.
Hey, I have poopery in there.
Yeah, did you use it? It doesn't work that well. Then it just smells like
shit. Did you spray the toilet?
I did.
Okay. I hate when people don't use it right and they're like, well, let me.
Yeah, you got to spray before you go.
What are you doing? Right. Read the directions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People,
I know
those
how
are
to
people
use
that weren't used to reading shampoo bottles and stuff before smartphones came around on the toilet.
Trust me, I've kept that stuff around long enough. I mean, I think I've pretty much carried it on every trip that we go on.
They even make it in keychain size now. Just
do
a
they?
Little like.
Wow.
Yeah. I didn't know that. How about that?
I'm not so worried about the smell, just as long as I got my little wipey wipes with me.
Oh, my gosh. So, you know how I asked our patrons, our patrons.
Patrons.
The patrons.
We are so fancy.
All 70 plus of our patrons.
You know how I asked them questions? Well, one of the questions I asked is, have any of them seen a UFO? And one of them said that they think that they have.
Ooh.
Now, one of our newest patrons, Kat, said that her and her husband are pretty sure they may have seen a UFO.
What were you on?
So, you've been hitting the vape.
Right. So they were driving home early one morning before the sun came up, which was around 6 a.m. last February. and that's when they both saw a very bright light. It was almost like an explosion in the sky. Then there was an extremely fast linear movement towards the Earth.
Ooh.
Now, it wasn't like a plane or a jet. We're talking really fast, faster than anything you've ever seen before. And they've tried to make sense of it, but they absolutely cannot. The velocity that was directly towards the Earth, they believe there should have been an impact that they should have felt. And they imagine that someone would be talking about it on the news mm-hmm. once it would have hit. So to them, it's still an unidentified flying object. And to this day, they've still been trying to make sense of it. They both kind of disagree on, you know, what it could have been. They've talked about it being, you know, a shooting star. Could it have been a drone?
A meteor.
Meteor. So they try to make sense of it, but they really can't come to an agreement on what it could have been. And I really liked reading it because it kind of goes along with my mystery for today. So I thought that it was really interesting. But before we get into that, I learned something new that I wanted to share.
God help us.
I know.
You are always learning something new that you think you need to share.
Most other people already know.
Probably.
How to buy creamer.
I feel attacked right now. I feel attacked. But that's fine. So, I was loading my dishwasher the other day. Mm-hmm. And I have found that the dishwasher doesn't do a really good job with, big pans.
Yeah.
Even if I put it on the heavy cycle, it just doesn't do a really good job with pans. And, if you put it on a high temperature, it will, ruin the pan. It just doesn't do well with pans. Mm-hmm. So I thought, I have, a Whirlpool, I think. I have a cycle called Soak and Clean. And I have never used that before. Mm-mm. Have you guys ever used this? Me either. And I thought, perfect. That sounds like I'm going to soak and clean it. Let me try this.
How much water damage was there?
So I thought, I'm going to put my pans in it. I'm going to soak and clean. Perfect. Now, I've had problems with dishwashers in the past. And I think that I've talked about one of my years of colleges when I accidentally bought Dawn and I flooded my apartment with. Yeah. Is an accident. But anyway, so I left the other day to go to the coffee shop to do some work before I had a haircut. And I was gone for about 8 hours. So I turned that sucker on, filled it up, turned it on, soak and clean. I come home 8 hours later. It's still running.
My God.
And I thought, what have I done?
No kidding.
What in the electricity bill did I do?
I was like, is my well? Am I do I have water left? You know, what is going on? What have I been doing? What did I do? So I opened up the manual. I have my manual still. So I opened up the manual and I thought, oh my God, what have I done? You know? And that cycle lasts almost 9 hours.
Jesus, that's an overnight. What? That's sleeping.
Yeah, it soaks it soak. So
fills water up with water.
It's more like waterlogged and clean.
Jesus.
What would you use that for?
Did it get him clean?
I don't think.
Yeah, by that point in time, they were waterlogged.
I don't understand.
If there was something left on those pans, I would throw away the dishwasher.
Right.
After almost 9 hours of a wash, there better be nothing left on it.
So, did you hear it running? How did it work? Does it spray everything down?
The whole time it sprays water.
The whole time it sprays water?
The whole time.
I was going to say, because
it's soaking, it's just spraying water.
It
doesn't mean that it's refilling and refilling. I don't know how many times it's refilling with water. Because it might drain out and then refill clean water, but I guess it's just constantly spraying up water to hit the dish, to hit the dishes.
Because see, in my mind, I'm thinking soaking. You don't fill a dishwasher completely to the top with water. That's not the way they work. So I couldn't figure out. Shut up. So I couldn't figure out how they were going to soak, but a constant stream of water. I can see that.
Yeah, and I heard before I left, you could hear it running. You could hear it just sprouting up water, but almost a 9 hour
sprouting up, huh?
sprouting up water.
Yeah. Sprouting it up.
Sprouting
it. I didn't know water sprouted.
In the dishwasher.
When you buy a dishwasher, you have two options. Mm-hmm. One, the dishwasher can either fill completely up with water, or two, it can sprout
it
up.
It can either sprout the water or bukkake.
Or, bukkake the water. That's it. It's two options. Now, for you listening who did not join us last time on Unmasked, you have no idea where that bukkake comment came from. We learned that word in our Unmasked episode.
Shane learned that word. I already knew what it was.
Yeah. Well, Kim learned that word.
I had a good you didn't know guess what on what it was.
You've heard the
it
word.
It kind of sounds like what it is. Mm-hmm. Like if you'd never heard the word before saw it, you'd be like, oh, bukkake.
You Google it and it looks like the word.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just recently had to clean my dishwasher. I did not.
I just cleaned mine.
I did not.
Oh my God. We went from dishwaters to bukkake and then Josh
back to dishwasher.
Ended up back in dishwasher when he started to say I went to clean mine. I'm like, oh my God.
Well, speaking of bukkake and garbage heap, I was like, oh yeah, I just had to clean my garbage heap out the other day.
Oh my God.
Well, for most of my life, I've been the dishwasher. So yeah. I'm not accustomed. I'm just recently, after 2 years of where I live now, getting the hang of like how to load it, mm-hmm. you know, not to do too much. But a little notification came on. It was like, bitch, this needs clean. I was like, you got to clean it? What?
Yeah. And it really helps if you get like a little cleaner tab.
I got two different kinds, like cleaner tab and then one you like. It's a plastic thing you stick in there. You got to eat off it now.
Well, and you need to go in there, and there's normally a little filter in the center, and you need to clean it up.
I YouTubed.
Yeah.
I soaked it like grandma would do in bleach water.
If you don't like it, it will really run your dishwasher.
Way back in the day when
Kim
I was married.
Kim doesn't have a dishwasher.
No, I don't now.
Poverty.
I did. I used to back in the day.
And I just want to tell you something, Miss Producer Kim. You have forgotten to put your phone in Do Not Disturb. All I see right now on your phone is popping up. Notification.
Son of a gun.
Phone. Game.
I mean,
what's that?
It's
plenty
not
of fish notification.
Whatever.
Hey, mama, you want some of this?
I forgot to put it on Do Not Disturb.
Sweaty Daddy Long Dong sent you a message.
And I'm telling you what, when you're trying to hold a conversation on.
Well, quit looking at it.
Bing. I'd like to, but it's right in my direct view of you.
You want me to put a piece of paper up there?
Yeah, right.
You want me to take it down and fix it?
Right here.
Do you want me to take it down and fix it? I will.
Right here.
Okay, but make us motion sick.
Go ahead, Kim. What were you going to say?
You had a dishwasher many years ago.
So when I was married many years ago, we bought a brand new double wide to put on the property next to my grandparents. That's where we live.
Moving on up. Uh-huh.
People are going to be able to draw her home after all the talks that you give about your house.
And so it had a brand new dishwasher in it.
I'll edit it out, Kim. I just keep her out.
Oh, my God.
Or will I edit it out?
Dun, dun, dun.
Back door's always unlocked.
That's my screen name.
Seriously. Why? Why? I don't understand why I torture myself on a daily basis with this asshole.
Sound like any other healthy married couple I know.
Anyway, so of course the appliances come with it. So we had a brand new dishwasher, which the place that we lived at before did have a dishwasher. We put one in. So we hadn't lived there too awful long. And I ran a load of dishes, you know, and I unloaded it and stuff. And I started smelling like burning wire smell.
Yeah. Well, you got to put Dawn in it, clean it out.
Yeah, sure you do.
Don't you know?
So I had loaded it back up and it started another load. And I'm like, man, something's just not right. So I just stopped it and I ran it through the cycle long enough to where it would empty all the water out of it.
Breaking news. I swear to God, Kim, if your freaking phone.
I saw that. Breaking news.
Good God.
What's funny is I almost took the glasses off so I could read it. And that's how Kim died.
Poor Torpy.
Rest in peace, Kim.
just flashed on your phone. I swear to God, I can't even focus. Butterfly? You better hurry. You got 15 seconds before something else flashes on your phone.
I think it's hilarious that the F word just kind of slipped right out of your mouth.
I couldn't help it. I forgot I was being recorded.
Oh, thank God that there's a beeping noise that we can put in.
I always forget about that.
Yeah. And so it emptied itself out and I was trying to clean it out. And now my eyes are just running again. And I still smelled it. I couldn't figure out what it was. So we called a repair guy to come and look at it. And there was a...
This story might end sometimes.
I know. I was yawning. I was like, it's not because the story is boring, but it's not because it was entertaining.
But there is a lid, a clear plastic lid had fell down onto the heating element. So it was melting it. And I mean, I didn't think about looking at which I did look down in there and I didn't see anything, but because it was clear, I didn't see it because you could see through it, you know?
Right.
So, yeah.
I just now realized after that sentence we said that I say melting as melting.
Melting.
Melting. It was melting. Southern, it was melting it to bits.
Oh my Lord. God. I'm not sure I'm going to make it.
Well, we hope
not. If you have any dishwasher advice.
Just don't die down here. We don't have to carry your body.
It was just so stinking funny that he always tries so hard to be halfway
decent
and not cuss too much, and then that F word just slid right on out of there.
I can't be the only one on the podcast with morals, guys.
Oh, please.
I say it. I couldn't even get it out.
I think I cussed more than both of you put together.
Josh, I think something's shown. Is that your hoe?
I clean it up quite a bit for the podcast. Mm-hmm. I do love Jesus, but I cuss a little.
The sad part of it is I clean it up a little bit for the podcast, too. I'm a really potty mouth.
Well, we don't want to mark it as explicit.
Well, it's already marked that way.
No, they forced it.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah, they forced it.
Why? Because I'm a homosexual.
Probably.
I'm explicit material.
It's probably
homophobic.
Probably
yeah, probably.
They probably.
Are we really marked as explicit?
Yeah, yeah,
that's they force it.
I'm not
they
the one that talks about little dicks all the time. Big wins and everything else.
I'll sell them, but I don't buy it.
I can see it, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, it is marked explicit.
One of our listeners, I can't remember who, she messaged me about the little dicks asking how big they were. It might have been Trevor.
Well, that's not very nice
I think it was Trevor asking me about the little dicks. And I told him the size. They're like maybe an inch and a half. And he was like, oh, good. So not a choking hazard. And there were so many dick opportunities. Right. I was like, I couldn't pick one, though. So I just left it up in the air.
Right. But, you know, it's according to who you ask. Because I would probably tell him 2 inches. You'd have told him an inch.
Right.
Right. You would have told him the real. I don't know. You know. You probably would have undersold it.
I'd rather be undersold and happily surprised than oversold and disappointed.
Yeah, I agree with that statement.
If I get ready and drive all the way over there and it's undersold, I'm leaving. I'll walk right out the door. False advertising.
Are you hot?
I'm getting there. Low, yeah. Ooh-wee.
Well, we had to wait so long while you were in the bathroom in here.
Listen, I don't need you guys' crap today.
Well, no.
Her allergies are...
Yeah, my allergies are, my nose is running, my eyes are running, and I take an allergy pill every day, and I actually have been taking it. There for that 1 week, I couldn't figure out why my allergies were so bad. It's because I was forgetting to take it.
How often do you dust at home?
I don't.
Do you leave the house often, or do you stay at home and breathe in the dusty air that does not get recirculated often?
I go out quite a bit. I mean, I'm outside with the dog. Quite a bit.
Because that's one thing I didn't realize is the more you stay in the house and, you know, you're just breathing in all your dust and stuff, I didn't realize it was making my allergies worse.
Yeah, I did just get a new filter for my furnace I need to take down and put in.
Oh, good.
So that'll help a little bit. I've been without one for a little bit, so I'm sure that's probably some of the reason. But yeah, I don't dust a whole lot because it just... really messes me up when I do.
Oh, I get one of them little Swiffer ones that attract the dust, like magnets.
Oh, I have one of those too, it. But still just disturbing it.
Oh, I love to dust. I walk around like Cinderella.
Well, honey, you can come to my house and dust because it could use it.
I got a maid costume.
So does Kim. Hey, boys, how you doing?
But yeah, I don't dust very often. A few times.
Do you guys ever think when people join our new Patreon, like someday we're going to be Mystery Inc. famous? Like, you know, our podcast is going to be huge someday. I just feel it.
Just huge. I hope so.
Just massive.
See, okay, this is what I want everybody that's out there listening today.
Yeah.
I want everybody out there listening to tell 10 friends about us.
Yeah.
Mm. 10
especially
friends.
Especially if they're cute. I'm trying to find a husband on this podcast. I mean,
the only reason Josh is here is to find a man.
We live in the middle of nowhere and there ain't a man in town worth my time. So if you're single and you like what you see.
Tim's just trying to find a man.
I'm real fun.
No, no. I have 3 in my basement. I don't need any more.
Oh, that's true. But anyway, back to my point. But sometimes I think, you know, someday we are just going to be at this huge show.
I hope so.
And it is just so nice that right now that all these new Patreons, we just have such a good time that
because
you know there are podcasts that are so big that they just don't get to know like their community very well, and we are still at the size that we do that we get to know everyone and we know their names and we get to like mail them actual postcards.
We have so much fun in that group.
We do.
I love that group. They're all good people. And
yeah. So I always think that it's nice that like every time we see a person come in, we actually like see their name and we're like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. Like we had one person who signed up to be a Patreon and we were mailing them out a postcard. And because we had their address, we saw, oh my gosh, they're also a Hoosier.
Yeah. Couple. I know one lives in Indianapolis.
Yeah, we have a few.
So it was just, it's always really cool that we always, you know, get to know people and we get to mail you postcards that we actually sign.
That fly's going to drive me nuts.
I know.
It came in here when you walked back in here.
Whatever.
It's all your fault.
Whatever. I got 3 postcards to mail on my way home today. One's going to the UK.
Oh my gosh. I love when the people from the UK jump on to Patreon. I typically forget, like, what state and what country people are from.
Yeah.
I'll remember people's names and things like that. Like, I remember who people are. I just don't remember, like, the location they're at. But I always will pick it up when they start talking or when they comment, because you can normally, like, tell by the wording that they are using.
Oh, yeah.
And if they're from the UK, I will start reading it in an accent. My knickers.
It's how I always know a British man is talking to me on the apps, because most men will say, like, you down or you up, but British men always say, you keen?
Are you keen?
Yeah. Are you keen?
Oh, my God.
Show me a picture, maybe.
I don't know that I've ever heard that.
You keen? That's hilarious. Are you guys ready for my mystery today?
Sure.
Absolutely. Okay.
It's a good one. And if you guys don't see this on the video, I'm going to show you. I have a little alien here. Isn't this just the cutest
little thing? I love his little fuzzy balls.
Yeah. He is just the cutest little thing.
I bet you like fuzzy balls.
Look, his little eyes.
Like, oh, I didn't know it glowed.
I didn't either.
Yeah.
Glowed. Glue.
Yeah, his little eyes glow. But I just love good alien stories.
I should get my crochet out.
Oh, yeah, I got my knitting.
Well, while you guys do that, I'm going to get into my story.
Do it.
All right, so my mystery takes place in the year 1952. Ooh.
52. That's a little bit before I was born.
Just a little. Mm-hmm. So you're probably wondering right now, friends, what took place in 1952?
Please tell us.
Yeah, well, I'm going to. So in 1952, Queen Elizabeth's father died, Queen Elizabeth II.
We've seen The Crown.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that is the year that she became queen, although it was the next year that her coronation happened.
Yeah, it took them quite a while to do her coronation.
Yeah. However, also that year, in December, that was when the great smog happened in London.
Yeah, that was in the episode.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So this cold fog had descended on London, if you're not familiar with the story, and it had trapped industrial pollution in London. I mean, London's massive, of course. And so that lasted for several days. And it led to the killing of thousands of people. So, I mean, it was a huge story.
I think Churchill was prime minister when that happened, wasn't he?
Yes.
Probably. So this is also the time period of the Cold War. The Cold War started after the end of World War II in 1945. And the Cold War didn't end until the Soviet Union collapsed in 1991.
I didn't realize it lasted that long.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It was a long time. So the U.S. also in 1952 had just tested its first hydrogen bomb in November also. And they did that in the Marshall Islands. I don't know if you guys were aware of that.
Yeah.
So also in 1952, my mystery takes place.
Ooh. Dun, dun, dun.
Now, between July 12th and 1929, so many UFOs were spotted and reported over Washington, D.C.
Oh, it's the, what's the name of the Independence Day?
That, I love those movies.
I've never seen them. That it would be called the Invasion of Washington.
Oh. Mm.
Now, while I was looking through old newspaper articles, I will tell you that some media, some newspapers, had reported this whole thing, and they were reporting on it as the Washington flap or the UFO flap. So it's also referred to that. And that's not a word that I was familiar with, flap, F-L-A-P.
Oh, well, Cam is, but so we're not.
Unless something's flapping.
So I went to the dictionary, and I was like, what flap are they talking about? So this is the definition of flap. This is like the rabbit hole I got into. The first definition of flap: anything broad and flexible that hangs loose or that is attached by one side or end and is easily moved. I know what that means. Mm-hmm. Two, a hinged leaf, like a flap of a table.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Three, a hinged surface on the trailing edge of the wings of an airplane. Okay. Used to increase life and drag.
Right.
Definition four, a side fin of a ray. And they give a synonym of a wing. So it's a wing of a ray? I don't know.
Stingray?
I have no idea. The fifth definition is the motion of anything broad and loose, or a sound or stroke made with it.
Broad and loose. There you go, Kim.
I know. Isn't just flap like the best word? And it all describes you, Kim. I'm sorry. And I'm the sure sixth definition, I think, is the word that they're using flap for. It is a controversy, a scandal, a stir, or upset, or commotion.
I've never heard it.
Yeah, like that
so
either.
I think that it's just like a term that people just don't use anymore. So the more we know, guys, I mean, if that's just not the takeaway today, we all know now what a flap is.
We can just start using it.
I know. I'm just going to start using that in like normal
terminology. You're the only one with the right parts to make fun of flap.
Kim, what's your flap today? That's just going to be a 7.
How's the flap hanging, Kim?
That's just awful. You guys are horrible.
What's your flap today, Kim?
I'm sorry if you're listening to this right now.
All right. So, again, the dates that this whole thing started was July 12th to the 29th. And 4 years before this incident, the U.S. Air Force had only been working on a reported 615 UFO reports.
Only.
But during those 17 days, they were working on 717
Dear Lord.
Reports.
In 17 days?
17 oh. days, they had more reports than the previous 4 years.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Nuts.
I know that when we started working on the hydrogen bombs and atomic bombs, that there was an increase in UFO activity and reports because of it.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you were coming from another universe or another planet, wouldn't you be like, oh my God, what is this planet doing with this?
The hell are these hairless apes doing now? Right.
So during a 6-month period in 1952, following that period of time, 148 of the U.S.'s top newspapers were reporting on these UFOs. In fact, there were over 16,000 articles being written about this whole incident.
Wow. Jeez.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was all over the place. So, date-wise, On April 3rd of that year, the Associated Press reported that the Air Force was taking this incident seriously with flying saucers. So everyone was like, oh my God, so the Air Force is taking this all seriously.
I thought you was making a joke instead of saying with flying colors. It's like, oh no.
And then on April 7th, the most reputable publication so far published an article about it all. And this was with Life magazine. And the title of the article was, Have We Visitors from Space? And that, I mean, if the public couldn't be any more into this and wondering what's going on, it really got the public's attention. Mm-hmm. Then, on the night of July 19th, at 11:40 p.m. at Washington National Airport, an air traffic controller named Edward Nugent spotted seven objects on his radar. Now, these objects were 15 miles south-southwest of the city, and there were supposed to be no known aircraft in that area. Now, these objects were not following any established flight path. So his superior, Harry Barnes, watched these objects on Nugent's radar scope, and he reported that the movements were very radical compared to normal aircraft. He then had two other controllers come in and check Nugent's radar to make sure that it was working properly, and all of them said, yeah, this thing's working. It's just fine. And then that's when they called the radar-equipped control tower. And the controllers there, Howard Coughlin and Joe Zacco, also picked up on those identified objects on their radar screens. So now there's multiple radar screens picking this up at two different locations. And they all are describing this as a hovering bright light in the sky with incredible speed. Suddenly, other unidentified objects appeared in other sectors in their radar scopes. When those objects moved over the White House and the U.S. Capitol, that's when they contacted Andrews Air Force Base, which was close by. Now, Andrews initially said they could not pick up the objects on their radar. However, immediately afterwards, an airman calls into the radio base and reports that he sees a very strange object. His name was William Brady. He was in the tower when he said the object looked to be like an orange ball of fire, unlike anything he had ever seen before. And he reported that the object took off at an unbelievable speed. And then on the runways at the National Airport, S.C. Pierman, who was a Capital Airlines pilot, was in the cockpit waiting to take off. He said he saw what he first thought was a meteor, and then he observed six objects that he called white, tailless, and fast-moving lights. And he saw these objects over a 14-minute period. Now, the entire time he was in radio contact talking throughout this entire 14-minute period, back to base. Now, when they saw the objects disappear from radar, that's when this pilot says he could see them sort of like taking off. So basically on radar, it would start to disappear and it would disappear. And that's when that 14-minute period where this pilot would see them fly by him and like go off into space. So it kind of reminded me of like, if you remember seeing Star Wars, like when those ships would jump.
Into hyperspace.
Yeah. That's what it reminded me of when I was reading it. Now, at Andrews Air Force Base, the control tower were now able to actually track these unknown objects. So they were able to get their devices to track them. At one point, both radar places at National Airport and Andrews were tracking these unknown objects that were hovering over a radio beacon. And then suddenly, those objects vanished on all three radars at the exact same time.
Hmm.
At 3 a.m., U.S. Air Force F-94 jet fighters flew into Washington from Delaware. However, all the objects disappeared from radar. The jets continued in the area until they were low on fuel and they went back to Delaware. And once they left, those objects returned.
Ooh.
I know, how creepy.
Hell no, 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 no.
I know. And that convinced Barnes, the supervisor, that the UFOs were likely monitoring radio traffic, and they bailed out when those fighter jets came in. Now, at 5:30, that's when the radar picked up the objects for the last time. So basically, once the sun started coming up, the objects left. The sightings that day and into the next morning made the front page on many, many newspapers around the U.S. In one of the newspapers, in all capital letters on the very front page, this is what it said: saucers swarm over Capitol. So as you can imagine, the Air Force
sell some papers.
And government was not happy. Well, it just happened that the Air Force captain in charge of Project Blue Book was in D.C. at that time.
Oh.
Yeah, and if you're not familiar with Project Blue Book, again, go listen to that Hometown History episode because you'll learn all about Project Blue Book. However, he learned about all of this in the headlines that morning. So they didn't even contact him to tell him.
Hey, one guy who might know what's going on.
Yeah. Right. So can you just imagine waking up and you're like, oh, no one bothered to tell me that this was all happening and I'm right here.
Thanks, guys.
Right. So he goes to the Pentagon and he's like, hey, guys, what's going on? I'm the captain over Project Blue Book. What's going on? I'd like to help figure out what's going on. And they're like, oh, yeah, you know, we don't know much yet. And these things be investigated. Well, he tells the Pentagon that he would like to go out and investigate this since he's already there.
Yeah.
Well, sure. Why not?
Yeah. So he tries to get them to give him a car. They wouldn't let him have a car.
That's shady.
Yeah. They're like, no, I'm sorry. We don't have a car for you. But you can buy your own taxi and go to all these places and do your own thing if you want. So he got really, like, butthurt, it sounded like. Over that whole thing.
I ain't getting my own Uber for the gig.
Yeah, right. So he wasn't about that. So he ends up flying back to Dayton, Ohio, to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, where we were just at.
Yeah.
Well, when he gets back there, he ends up speaking to an Air Force radar specialist, and that's when they decide that there was an unusual weather condition that day that could have caused unusual radar activities. And that kind of seems like a troll to me. Like, yeah. Let's completely invalidate these radars and what everyone saw. And
the weather balloon all over again. Uh-huh.
It's just a weather.
It was a bird.
Yeah. All these people who look at radars all the time. It's a weather.
Yeah, they never seen no weather before.
Right. No, it's just a weather. That's the ultimate troll, isn't it? Weather. Come up with a better excuse. So then, on the night of July 26th, 1952, same year, at 8:15 p.m., a pilot and stewardess at the same airport on a National Airlines flight in D.C., they observe lights above their plane. Soon after, both radars at the airport and the radar at Andrews Air Force Base lit up with more of these unknown flying objects. Well, Albert Chopp, the spokesman for Project Blue Book, he goes out and he arrived at the National Airport and denies several reporters' access and requests to take photos of the radar screens. They're like, well, there's nothing to see if it's just, you know, weather. Let us take pictures of these radars. Mm-hmm. You know, let's just take pictures. And he denied the request. And then he goes into the room in the tower so that he can monitor what's going on. So by 9:30 p.m., he's in there, and they're tracking all of these unknown objects, and they are all over D.C. Now, the objects would travel slowly at times, and then they would reverse direction and travel very quickly across the radar at speeds believed to be around 7,000 miles per hour. Very, very fast.
I'd say.
Yeah.
Just a little.
At 11:30 p.m., two F-94 Starfire jet fighters are in the air over D.C. And the flight leader reported that he didn't see anything in the air suspicious, but the other craft that was there with him did. And he said that he saw four white glowing objects. And so he started chasing them down to figure out what they were. He said they were below 1,000 feet and they were moving so quickly that he had no chance to catch up to them. And then at one point, ground control radioed to him and asked how things were going. And that pilot replied, "The objects are all around me. What should I do?" And everyone in all those rooms just stood there, not knowing what to say. Like,
run.
Fire at will. I don't know.
Nothing.
Yeah, none of them. Every one of them were just like, I don't know.
Are you there? Hello? Yeah. Hello?
He was just like, what do I do? And everyone's just like,
oh, no.
Maybe he'll figure it out. I don't know.
Try it out. Run him.
Yeah. It's just kind of funny. They're like, everything okay? They're all around me. What do I do? No one answers
Silent
the phone.
Crickets. Yeah.
You're on your own, dude. So after midnight, a major and a lieutenant who is a radar specialist arrives at the radar center at the National Airport. The Washington National Weather Station ends up calling in and they report to the center that there is a slight temperature inversion over the city, but the radar specialist tells everyone in the room that there is no inversion that's going to be strong enough to explain those good solid returns that are on those radar scopes. It was his belief that those objects had to be solid metallic objects. And the major who was there as well, he also relayed to everyone in the room that these objects had to be solid metallic objects as well. So they were both on the same page with their expertise.
So not a cloud or something.
Right. Well, so they end up calling in two additional F-94s. So those two additional fighter jets were scrambled over DC to come help. One of those pilots reports back and says that he sees those white lights moving around and they're moving towards him, and then suddenly they vanish. Now, by sunrise, just like last time, all of those sightings and all of those radar sightings disappear and things return back to normal.
Maybe they're part vampire. Growing older has been less mysterious ever since I started using Hormone Harmony to help with the symptoms of menopause. Between the sleepless nights, random hot flashes, mild mood swings, it was making it really difficult to focus, rest, and enjoy myself. Hormone Harmony has helped make traveling around with two young men in a mystery machine a lot more bearable. Hormone Harmony is not just for those of us suffering from menopause. Women who have symptoms of hormonal imbalances can benefit from Hormone Harmony. It has helped guide me through the mystery of menopause into a more harmonious journey through a natural process in each woman's life. The company behind Hormone Harmony, Happy Mammoth, advocates for women and helps them regain control of their hormones. With over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, more women are feeling more like themselves now more than ever. Thank you, Hormone Harmony, for unmasking the monster behind my menopause. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code MYSTERY at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code MYSTERY for 15% off today.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary. Oh, oh, oh,
O'Reilly! You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people. Oh, 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 O'Reilly
Auto Parts.
Because, you know, Dracula can't be out in the sun.
Kill us now.
You still don't get a day in.
Oh, I get it. I wish I didn't.
I thought it was funny.
Somebody come get her. All right. So this event also made front page headlines the following day. And then that, of course, you know, made the Air Force and Project Blue Book need to come up with an explanation of what happened. And of course, the president and everyone else was like, we have to figure out an explanation.
I mean, it's just too much to just ignore.
Right. Mm-hmm. So after their investigation, the explanation, two things. The first one.
It's a weather balloon.
Temperature inversion caused all of those specialists to not know what was going on with their equipment. Second thing, they misidentified weather balloons.
Oh, Jesus. It's always
weather balloon.
How much longer do they expect us to buy the weather balloons?
Those fighter jets, I mean, dang it, that fighter jet, he...
Just surrounded by weather balloons.
Just outran that fighter jet.
Yeah, 7,000 miles per hour. Those Who knew the wind balloons. And the temperature was so strong?
Those dang weather balloons, I'm telling you what. They don't make weather balloons like they used to.
No, God.
Those weather balloons used to invade our cities.
My God. Temperature inversion and weather balloon. Right. That doesn't say so nice. Cover now, up. I don't know what does.
Now, on Unmasked, it's going to be really exciting because I am going to talk about a place that we all have heard of and all love and we all want to go visit.
Roswell, New Mexico.
No, we don't know this place from UFO sightings.
Oh.
But it is related to this UFO sighting and it is going to be so good. I'm so excited. So you have to be on Unmasked this week to listen. Enjoy. It's gonna be so good. Oh my God. It was gonna be my
curious.
It was originally my main topic. But then I was like, no, I have to switch it because I had much more information on this than I did my other one.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that's gonna be a really good Unmasked episode. Mm-hmm. So it's gonna be my Unmasked episode.
You've piqued my interest.
It's gonna be pretty good.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Just pretty good.
Are you ready for shit fire?
Oh, please.
Okay, here we go. Earlier this month, Cameron Jane was planning her Amazon order.
Oh, God.
I have stuff in my cart right now.
Well, so did she. Now, she was doing her normal Amazon buying, and before she checked out, she remembered, hey, I'm running low on olive oil. And she decided, I need to add that to my cart before I check out. So she searched olive oil and she picked the one that had the attractive green bottle and it said pure. And it had a pretty green olive tree on it. Perfect. Mm. Well, a few days later, her parents were over and she decided, I'm going to make them a nice, yummy Tuscan chicken dinner.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Oh, doesn't it? And pictures are lovely. Mm-hmm. It looks really good.
Now I want to know what I'm going to have for dinner.
Tuscan chicken dish? It sounds delicious. Well, after she was making it, she spent a long time making it. After the food was done, it looked delicious. She was excited to serve it. She sits down with her family at the family dinner table. This is in Nashville, by the way.
Oh.
Well, they eat, they take a few bites, and that's when they hear it.
Oh, God.
Cameron's mom started saying, Oh my God. Oh my God.
I'll have what she's having.
No kidding.
Well, shit far. The meal was beyond inedible.
Was it lube?
But why? She made this meal many times. She had made this meal many times without a problem.
Oh, God.
But this time it went all wrong and nothing was salvageable.
The hell'd they do to it?
No kidding.
So they went back to the kitchen to look through the ingredients and we'll shit far and save the matches. That bottle of olive oil in small letterings under the large words of olive red shower gel. Olive blossom.
My God.
That's horrible.
Jesus.
That's funny.
Shit far.
Shit far.
Save the matches.
Now, when you look at the meal, it looks so good. Because shower gel is like a glazy look, you know?
Oh my God.
And it looked like it was perfect. And I can see her mistake, too, because it looked like there's French lettering on it.
Well, when you add it, like, wouldn't shower gel pour differently than
I would think.
Olive oil? People don't pay enough attention. That's why I don't eat other people's cooking.
I would think that olive oil would have been thinner than what
shower gel.
Stupid fly. That shower gel would have been.
I know. Well,
that's why I don't do potlucks.
I'm sure it smelled good.
No problem. Yeah.
Clean your system out.
I can just imagine taking a bite. Ugh.
Imagine her mom, because like at first you're like it hits your mouth and you're like, oh, I'll be nice because you and my daughter
slayed
into this. And then you're like,
well, especially if it's something, you know, they've made before. You're like, oh.
Yeah, and she said that she made it many, many times. Like she was used to making it.
Oh, that's funny.
Shit.
Shower gel.
Yuck.
All right, guys. Follow us on our Facebook group, Shane and Josh's Rabbit Hole.
Always read the fine print before you buy anything online. Yes, get exactly. the dimensions.
Speaking of, when you go to Facebook and you look up our group, don't just put in Shane and Josh's Hole because you might find something completely different.
You got to pay for that one.
Right. Put in our Rabbit Hole.
That's only for our Only's fans.
Right. We are going to have special interactions, not just for Mystery Inc. listeners, but for some of our other shows. So join us there. You'll find us on Instagram at It's Mystery Inc. You can also join our Patreon community. You'll unlock our bonus unmasked episodes and you'll be able to communicate with all of our amazing Patreon followers.
It's so much fun.
It is. And you can also visit us online at itsmysteryinc.com. You'll find all of our merch, including our upcoming coffee mugs.
Watch us on YouTube. You can see me screw up this scarf I'm knitting.
Did you screw it up?
Just one little. I got a little hole in it. I don't undo, though. Mm-mm. It's just part of it now.
Yeah.
You can see a swat away that's fly. Dragged into the
I didn't drag bunker. It in here.
It was not in here before you got into this room.
We need to water the plant, Josh.
Flies don't buzz around clean gooters. That's all I'm saying.
You mean clean flaps?
Clean flaps.
That's our new word. Clean flaps.
You got the, Kim, you're the one that had the roast beef sandwich for lunch.
I was about ready to say, already y'all should have heard what he said about my roast beef sandwich for lunch.
Ain't you got enough of that?
Oh, your blanket's very cute, Kim.
Yeah, it looks so soft and cuddly.
Are you going to give that blanket away too?
Probably.
Yeah, you should.
It's not bad for pastels.
You could at least put it on the Mystery Inc. website. At least
maybe.
Anybody have a new baby or a puppy?
There is.
Very pretty. It reminds me of cotton candy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There is a pattern.
Hold it up so people can see it.
There's a pattern.
There you go. Now put it over your face. And I'm just kidding.
It already is. There is a pattern for a blanket that I want to make. And I think I'm going to make it and put it up for sale.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Because I really want to make it, but I really don't have any place to put it. And everybody that I know probably don't either.
Mm.
I have a closet full of crocheted blankets for, you know, gifts from people, but I'm like, I'm not going to use these, but I'm not ever going to get rid of them.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, well, I'm always, really nice. I'm always finding, yeah, this is, it's so soft, but I'm always finding different patterns that I'm like, oh, that's so pretty. I really like that. I want to do that. And then I'm like, okay, then what am I going
to
do with it?
You need a blanket to make on our Nashville trip and then our Colorado trip. That goes along with like the collars of Nashville. Oh, yeah. The collars
make a Dolly Parton one. Now, what is that yarn called, Kim?
Chanel. Is that what it's called, Kim? Is it your Chanel?
No, it's not called that.
Oh, you lied to us?
I don't really remember what
Chenille.
It's Chenille. That's
I always remember because I think Chanel is, you know, classy old designer name.
See, yeah, something
Chenille is ghetto stripper name.
See, Chanel, it's very luxurious and soft. And I mean,
yeah,
it could be Chanel.
Think ghetto stripper and you bring it down to Chenille.
We ain't never going to have Chanel.
It's like those people that name their daughters like Mercedes, but it should be like Kia.
Amber always said that her kids' names was going to be Mercedes and Bentley because that would be the closest she would ever get to a Mercedes or a Bentley.
She don't have hopes high enough.
No, she didn't.
The first person mom ever let me spend the night with was a girl named Mercedes. I called her Sadie. Funny. And we were good friends at school, but I had never spent the night with anybody. And I was allowed to, and this was when we had moved. So it was in the town grandma still lived in, but we lived two towns over. It was a mistake. I ended up faking that I had asthma and had asthma attack and had them drop me off at grandma's. It was fun up until we got to their house because, you know, her grandpa had rescued a mountain lion that was injured.
What?
And he had a cow farm. And, like, we took some old hamburger and went and, like, fed this mountain lion in her grandpa's cow barn, of all things. So that was, like, really cool. And then we went and had Chinese, and we go back to her house and did not know she had pet snakes.
Oh, no.
And did not know that they bred gerbils to feed to their pet snakes.
Oh, no.
And the tanks were just on the floor of all of them. Like, they had lids and stuff, but they're just, like, on the floor. Mm-mm. And then she lit an incense and started like bowing to this like skull thing. And this is when I was like 13. So real heavy in the Southern Baptist witchcraft.
My grandma don't like that.
Right. So I started like freaking the hell out. And yeah, I pretended like I had asthma and had the smoke from the incense made me. I needed my inhaler that only grandma had.
I can't do incense.
I love them.
Oh, man, they give me a migraine so fast.
I love me a good nog chompa. Yeah, that was my first sleepover. I did not want to do another. I was like, Mom was right. No wonder Mom didn't let us. The people are weird, praying to the devil. I got snakes. And on the other side of her bed, I saw a thong with skid marks all over it. And that ain't right. it was so shocking. And that scar, like, just one thing after another. She was like, oh, you can sleep on that side of the bed. And I, like, you know, turned over to inspect, and there was a gap, and I was like, "Oh, there's this doo doo on there.
There's doo doo on there."
I'm like, "I gotta go. I'm not from Manny. Oh, we was broke, but we was clean. Thank God."
Josh could have done with the snake,
right? The
gerbil,
the doo doo. I was like,
the devil. Oh. He was like, unclean.
I did.
Nope. You just filled my cup.
My little OCD gay ass. I was like, nope. Asthma.
Nope. Filled my cup.
Grandma always said it don't matter if you have a dirt floor, you still sweep it, you know. Mm-hmm. And I am a firm believer in that. It doesn't matter how much money you have, you know, take care of what's yours and keep it clean.
Right.
And I don't ever have visitors to my house, so I don't clean for other people. I do it for me. It's my oasis. I don't want skid mark G strings by the fish tank or by the snake tank. I will never forget. Shoot, you want to see him, the snakes? You want to see him eat one of them? No, I do not.
I do not. That's the last thing I want to see, actually.
My brother that gave me two of my tattoos, he had a big boa constrictor. And when I was getting the tattoo on my back, and I went to his house to do it.
What in the white trash?
And yeah, it was a huge boa constrictor. And it was in a room that had other snakes, right? Ugh. And one of them, so the boa constrictor was in like a case, a big handmade case that they did it like under a stairwell so that, you know, they like plexiglass the stairwell. And he was doing my tattoo and I'm like, man, I really got to go. I got to go pee. And he's like, okay. And he told me where it was at. Well, I started to go like around this way to stay away from the boa constrictor. And he yells, the one on your left is poisonous. And I'm like, no.
I hate you. You know, that is the most barn dollar thing I've ever heard. One time when I was getting tattooed by my brother-in-law, his pet snake got me.
His poisonous snake.
He says, you want me to get it out so you can hold it? Nope.
Hell no.
Nope. Nope. Thanks. No, thank you.
No. I had to unfollow a girl recently on Facebook because her and her new husband started selling snakes and stuff, and every other picture is just a different one of the snakes they're breeding. And I was like, "You're a sweet girl, but no, I don't want to. I don't want a snake every time I get on Facebook."
No, All right, Well, are we done?
Yeah.
Watch out for snakes, everybody. Yeah. Talk at you later.
See you next time.
Bye. Bye.